Again, we're in this topic of healing the home. We realize that every home has its struggles, and sometimes it breaks down, and it needs healing, and there's a lot of different issues that come up, and so we want to, over the course of this year, just kind of address some of those, and hopefully it can be a help. And so, tonight we want to talk about the topic of family roles. And so in the home, the thing is that we can become used to and accepting of dysfunction in the family. That a family can be generationally dysfunctional for so long that what should not be normal is normal. And it just, this is the way it's always been, and we just accept it that way. And so we can be used to dysfunction, and we can do our best to try and navigate through that dysfunction. And I've seen that with some families, like say if a family where alcohol abuse is a big problem, where there's different things that the other family members do try to manage that situation, and some things are healthy, some things are not so healthy, but it's just that's all they've known. And so you can do that and try to do your best with that, but we understand it's much better to take the necessary steps to fix what is broken and restore the family to function as it was designed. And really we understand we need God's help for that. And as well, we realize that to move from dysfunction to full function, we need to have a target to aim for, a picture of what a functioning family looks like that we can work towards. That it's kind of the thing that, like I know I've found that going from sometimes if you have a really old vehicle, that you're used to things not working a certain way, and so if you have the opportunity to have a newer vehicle, then it's like, oh wow, this is the way it's supposed to function, right? And so it can be quite eye opening, and so it's kind of the thing when it comes to the family. It's not necessarily in this day and age where we can try to point out, oh yeah, this is like the perfect family that I can just look at it as an example, right? Because a lot of times we find that it might be something where they can put on a facade at a certain amount of time, but behind that, a lot of times there's issues there too. That we kind of think in times past of different examples like the Cleaver family with Leave It to Beaver, different things like that, where it just sort of seems like, oh yeah, there's the mom and the dad and the kids, and this is kind of a picture, but realize that was acting, right? That wasn't reality. And sometimes we have these ideas that we think, well, this is the ideal, but that might not even be an accurate picture either. And so we want to get back to the Bible, and we want to understand that God thankfully provides a picture for us as he lays down in Scripture what roles each member of the family is to fulfill. And really, as we go through some of this, I want you to realize that even though some of this to us seems pretty basic, almost like why would he even have to explain it, but we realize for the Apostle Paul, who brought out a lot of this stuff, that he was writing this to Gentiles where they had no clue how a family was supposed to function, what everybody was supposed to do. And so a lot of what he said would have just blown people away back then, of just, oh, this is how it's supposed to work, right? And so I think, like for us who have maybe grown up in a Christian home, some of this is, we've heard it many times before, but doesn't mean we necessarily have it figured out and we're applying it. But I think for a lot of people it can be, well, wow, I've never heard this before. And it can be just as revolutionary as it may have been in Paul's day that he first gave it. So I want to give some different thoughts, first of all, about understanding family roles. And so first off, we want to understand God designed and instituted the family. And we see that in Genesis, where he made man and woman, and they became one flesh. And so he designed it, he instituted it, and it's a thing that each member of the family fulfills certain roles. That's how he's designed it to function. And so with that, we understand that each of us needs God's help to both understand and fulfill our individual roles. Because obviously, if he's the manufacturer, if he says, this is what I want it to be used for, if there's some question for us of what our role is, we need to ask the manufacturer. And say, okay, you've designed a family, you've put me as this part in the family, what do you want me to do? And so we need his help to understand that, because we can often misunderstand that. But as well, we need his help to fulfill our individual roles, because as we're going to see, that these aren't just, oh yeah, this is something easy that I can do. This is no problem. No, pretty well everything, when you really get down to what God asks us to do, we can't do it in our own strength. And so this is a thought in a family role, that your family needs you to fulfill your roles. That you're there for a reason. And so, if you don't fulfill your roles, you want to understand that the people in the family may look to someone else to fulfill that role in their life. And that can lead to problems. See, you could think of it as a father. Sometimes the father might have the idea, well, my job is to bring home the bacon. And if they bring home a paycheck, they think, okay, my job is done. I can sit on the couch and just kind of watch sports for the rest of the night, right? but we realize there's so much more that they need, and especially for their children, they need from their father someone that's going to connect with them and kind of be a leader to them, a protector. And sometimes what happens if there's not that relationship of father to child, then a child will look to other people to find that. And it might be someone in a church that might be good, but it could also be someone in a gang. And so we want to realize that if these roles aren't being fulfilled, that because the other people have that need, they're going to look for them to be fulfilled somewhere else. And it may not be in a good place. But this is thought too, that trying to fulfill another's role doesn't work. And that's sometimes what we do if we see, well, this person's not doing their role, so I'm going to step in and do it. And we think that'll fix it. And we want to understand it doesn't fix it. It actually makes the problem worse. For several reasons. One, that if you're fulfilling someone else's role and they realize it and they feel that you've usurped their position, it's going to cause resentment, right? But then it's kind of the thing, if someone's kind of being lazy, not fulfilling their role, and you say, well, I'll just step in, then for that person, they might say, oh, awesome, I don't have to do anything because you're doing it for me. And that just doesn't work. You're actually ensuring that you're going to have to be stuck with that problem. But as well, you want to realize that you have your role to fulfill. And your family needs you to fulfill that role. If you're trying to fulfill your role and the other person's role, you're not designed to do that. And what's going to happen is you're going to burn out. Okay, and you're probably, in trying to do another person's role, you're probably going to end up not being able to fulfill your own role. And as you try to fulfill the role that they were meant for, you're just going to get frustrated because it's like, I can't do this the way that it needs to be done. And the reason why is because you're never designed to do that. And yes, there's times we, in a pinch, kind of in moments of crisis, a person can step in. But long term, we want to realize that we each have our roles to play. And then as well, this is something that's key, is that refusing to fulfill your role until someone else fulfills theirs will only worsen the situation. And that should be kind of self-evident, but a lot of times we don't recognize that. That we think, well, this person isn't doing this for me, so I'm going to not do this for them. But what happens to them? Well, they're not doing this for me, so I'm definitely not going to do this for them. And it just gets to be this whole kind of big kind of almost like a hostage situation where you're just escalating it and making it worse, having this big standoff. And it just, it's kind of the thing is that whether or not the other people in the family ever fulfill their roles, you have to fulfill yours before God. And so it's just learning. If you fill yours, that really helps the situation rather than hurt it. So that is kind of some basic things just as we first get into it. So first off, we want to look at the role of the husband or father. And so, first off, we see that the role of the husband or father is to love their family. And we see that in husbands, love your wives as Christ also loved the church and gave himself for it. And so we want to understand that. That's the first thing. And so, understand that love, and we've seen this in RU, it says, love is defined as a willing, sacrificial giving of oneself for the benefit of others without thought of return. Because that's what the Lord Jesus, he loved the church, he gave himself for it. Right? And so, love is demonstrated by giving of oneself, and it's not this whole barter system where I'm going to do this, and then they do this for me. And if they don't do this for me, then I'm going to stop doing what I'm doing. That's not how it works. We love unconditionally. And so understand this, love is to be the guiding principle as a husband and father fulfills all his other roles. And so that's the thing, is that the first off, as a husband and father, I need to love my wife, I need to love my children. And really, when we understand, and we look at the example that's laid for us, he just says, love them the best you know how. That's not what he says. He says, love them as Christ loved the church. And so for us to be able to love as Christ loved the church, we need God's help to do that. We don't have the capacity to love the way our family needs us. And so we need that, God to help us in that. Secondly, our role is to provide an environment in which all members of the family can grow and thrive. And so this is something to think about, because with Adam, that we find before he ever got married, that the Lord gave him a responsibility. And really, he was, to start with, he was a husbandman. That he basically was in the garden, and the Garden of Eden, we recognize, wasn't just a plot of ground. It was a place where there's a lot of trees and everything else. It would be more like a park that we would think of. But there's all these things that he was there. God put him in the garden to dress and to keep it. And so basically he's there to make sure that the plants can be as fruitful as possible. And so we want to understand is that God gave him that responsibility for a reason. That in many ways he was preparing him for something else. And you think of it, that there's a reason, there's a similarity between someone we would call a husbandman that's involved in husbandry and a husband. And we want to understand that God's design for the husband is that with the people in his family, his wife first and his children, that just as with trying to make trees and things as fruitful as possible, he's trying to make his family as fruitful as possible. But that's his goal. That we see, as it talks about in Ephesians chapter 5, the idea that he's speaking of his wife, that he's to nourish and cherish her. And then it talks about with his children that he's to bring them up in the nurture and the admonition of the Lord. That nourishing and cherishing and nurture and admonition, so much of that comes with the idea of promoting growth, of helping. And so you think of with the Lord Jesus, that he gave himself for the church, that he might sanctify it, and by the washing of the water of the word, that he might present it to himself a glorious church, not having spot or wrinkle or any such thing, but it should be holy and without blemish. That it's the idea, he gave his life for us so that we could become something much more beautiful than we were before. And so it's the same idea for a husband, that he's to invest that time in his family so that they can be as fruitful as possible. And so we want to understand, in order to fulfill this role, the husband or father needs to invest the time in getting to know what the needs of each family member is. And of course, that doesn't just mean physical needs. That's something that we understand as men. We think, oh yeah, I'm supposed to bring home the bacon. I got to make sure that the bills are paid. But we realize that's only one part of our family's needs, right? It's also mental, emotional, social, and spiritual needs. And so that's why it says in 1 Peter 3:7, it says, ye husbands, dwell with your wife according to knowledge. That you have to be able to know your wife to know what her needs are. You have to learn, and it's with your kids too. It's the necessity. You got to get to know them well enough so I know what they need. And so then once those needs are identified, the husband or father needs to develop and carry out what is necessary to meet those needs with the resources available. And so it's kind of the thing is realizing, okay, what are their actual needs? And so a father might realize, okay, they have needs that I can't meet just on my own. Yeah, maybe I can pay the bills, I can provide for them, put a roof over their head, but in terms of mental, emotional, spiritual needs, I need help, whether it's from my wife, maybe it's from my church family, but ultimately it's like I need God's help to be able to meet their needs fully and even really understand what those needs are. And so it's knowing what they need and say, okay, Lord, this is what you've given me the responsibility to do. How do I do that? And a lot of times the Lord can show us, okay, I have given you what's necessary to be able to fulfill your role. And there's that one saying, God's commands are his enabling. So if God wants us to provide this, he will give us what we need if we ask him. And sometimes he's actually already given it to us and we just have to take stock of what resources he's given and use them wisely and carefully. So then, thirdly, we see in the scriptures that the role of the husband and father is to provide wise, stable leadership to the family unit. That talks about that as Christ is the head of the church, so the husband is the head of the wife. That he's the leadership, he's the one with authority in the family. And so God invests the husband and father with the chief position of authority. And of course, as men, we like the idea, I'm in charge. But along with that authority comes a responsibility and accountability. That how your family, things happen in your family, you're going to have to give an account for that to God. And so it's a serious thing. It's something that you need to tread carefully in that. And so it's the thing is that we understand a family is not a democracy. It isn't something where as a parent where you say, okay, kids, let's take a vote. What do you want to do? It's like that's a recipe for disaster, right? Because kids will have what they want to do and it's not going to be what's good for them, right? But it's the thing is that it talks about in 1 Timothy 3, verse 5, and this is actually a qualification for a pastor, that he has to be one that rules well his own house. And so it's that thought that the father is to rule, but he has to rule well. And it's the thing is that you can't be a dictator, you can't be a pushover. You have to rule well. And so it's kind of the thing is that it's something I think as men we can kind of get a grip of or understanding of because we think of, okay, I'm working for different people. I've had bosses that are great bosses. I've had bosses that are terrible bosses. And so I say, okay, if I'm in place of leadership, am I wanting to fit the mold of those terrible bosses or do I want to be an awesome boss? And so it's learning that and sometimes realizing that we have things that we struggle with that we need God's help with, whether it's controlling our anger or being more patient, being more gentle. There's things that we want to learn how to do that, how to be a good leader. And so there's a lot that we have to learn that as men we got to step up to be able to do these things. And so father, husband or father needs to lead by example. John 5 verse 19 says the son can do nothing but what he seeth the father do. And so it's a thing that kids are watching, need to set the example. And in this role, the husband and father serves as both the gatekeeper and protector of the home. that he has to decide, okay, that I have to decide what comes in my home, I have to see what influences are in my family's life. Are these healthy influences? Are they unhealthy? And I have to make that call. Am I letting this in, or should I need to keep it out? And so it's an important role to fulfill. But as well, we want to see that in the Bible, there's some major don'ts for the husband or father. And I think these are important to recognize because when God gives a negative command, don't do this, it's basically, it's a very serious thing if we cross over this line. And so the first is where it talks about that it says, husbands, love your wives, and it says, and be not bitter against her. That we can't be bitter against our wives. That's just going to be a recipe for disaster in our relationship. That bitterness is a root that springs up and defiles many. And so we don't want that in our home. And so as the husband or father, it's really where we have to fight against that and say, bitterness is something I can't have in my family, and it starts with me. I have to fight against it. But then as well, we don't want to provoke our children to anger. And in a future lesson, we'll kind of lay out some of the ways we can do that. But the reason why is because they'll be discouraged. It's the thing is that children want to please their father, but if we get them to a point of just absolute frustration, exasperation, and they lose that desire, then it's just, it causes a lot of trouble. And so instead, it's the idea is that as fathers, that we want our hearts drawn towards our children. We want to instead nurture them, cherish them, bring them up to follow the Lord. So that's the role of husband and father. And so the role of the wife and mother, first principle, first part of the role is to love their family. It talks about Titus 2 verse 4 about the older women are teaching the young women. One of the things they teach them is to love their husbands and to love their children. And we sometimes think, well, that should be come naturally. But again, we look at when we understand love as God defines it. It's the willing sacrificial giving of oneself for the benefit of others without thought of return. Where a lot of times what you do is not necessarily appreciated by those that you do it for. It's only noticed if it doesn't get done. A lot of times you try to do what's best, and your kids can be in an attitude and think that they're... I can think of like with Joe sometimes, where it's like you tell him to do something he doesn't want to do, and he's like, meanie. And he just... That's if you're looking for your kids to always give you back that good feeling after you've done something good, that kind of instant gratification, you're probably not going to get it. And so you have to learn to be able to love them, because sometimes even though they're cute, they're not always that lovable. But we understand that this has to be the guiding principle as the wife or mother fulfills all her other roles. So for both the husband and the wife, that's key of loving the family. But then as well, we see that the role of the wife or mother is to partner with and assist her husband. That we see that God said, it's not good for a man to be alone, I'll make an help meet for him. And so it's the thing that the woman was created to help the man. Man needs that assistance. And so it's kind of the thing is God's given the man a vision of where he wants to send the family, and the wife is there to help see that vision brought about, and to just be that emotional support in many different ways. Because you think of it as we've looked at just the level of responsibility that's placed on the husband as leader of the home, that's something where it is too much for them to carry that load alone. They need God's help, and they need encouragement and support of others. Along with that, too, is to respectfully submit to her husband's authority And we see that Ephesians chapter 5, or wives, submit yourselves to your own husbands in the Lord. That there's supposed to be that. And of course, we understand that it's not that means that the wife is less of a person than the man or anything like that. They're equals. But there's a chain of command. God says, this is a chain of command I want you to follow. And part of the reason why is the respectful submission to your husband's authority provides an example of submission to the children to follow. And so, if there's not that, if the chain of command is already broken at the start between husband and wife, then the kids will look like, well, okay, why would I submit when my mom is not submitting to my father? And so we want to see that can cause a lot of trouble. And so it is important. But then as well, D, to manage the everyday affairs of the home. And we see that the idea of being keepers at home, importance of guiding the children's life. And Proverbs chapter 31, it talks about the virtuous woman. And you see that how there's a lot that she does to provide for the home. And it's very important what her role is. And it is... It is in a way a supportive role, but in the same way that as it's done, that it becomes a great blessing to the husband and the children when they see that virtuous diligence in fulfilling that role. So then with the children, it's pretty simple, but even with this we realize it's something that our flesh fights against these things, and we need God's help to be able to do that. First is to obey the commands of their parents. That's just plain in the Bible, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. That this is, when you're under their authority, you just learn to submit. And it's the thing, is that our flesh hates to submit, but we gotta learn to do that, and the sooner the better. And so from the beginning, if we learn to submit to our parents, that's going to bless our life as we learn that. As we submit to our parents, and we submit to our employer, we submit to people in authority of church, submit to our government, the Lord's going to bless our life. It's that umbrella of protection we've talked about, right? And if we refuse, we step out of that umbrella of protection, we get ourselves in a lot of trouble. And so... we want to understand how important that is for the functioning of the home, but also for our own sake as well. But we want to understand, and the second one is something that this, to obeying the commands of your parents, that's really when you're under their authority, under their roof, when you become your own kind of adult, you're on your own, you're kind of starting your own entity, so you don't necessarily have to follow that forever. But we understand the second one that we do, that we need to honor our parents. And we honor by showing them the respect that's due unto them. And this is the thing God says, honor your father and mother, may it well with thee, and may live long on the earth. That we are to show respect by what we say, what we do, by our lives. We show that God's given authority in our life. They've done a lot for us, and we show gratitude and honor to them. And so those are the basic roles that we understand. And that's thought too. True obedience is fulfilling the command right away with a good attitude. It's very important to understand that. And so when a family becomes dysfunctional, rarely is it only one member exclusively to blame. And that's always the trouble. And we saw that with the introductory lesson with Adam and Eve, right? That as soon as there was trouble, what happened? It was a blame game. It was like, oh, it's not my fault, it's Eve's fault, right? And we want to realize that usually everybody's involved. And we see there's Eve's failure, there's Adam's failure in the whole situation. And a lot of times what happens when there's trouble, it's a chain reaction of overreactions to each other's mistakes and failings. It causes what should be a simple misunderstanding or disagreement to turn into a terrible problem. That someone doesn't do something right, and so we're upset, and we react, and then they react to our reaction, and it gets more and more heated, And instead of somebody calming down, it's just somebody decides to take it up another notch, and it can get bad really quickly. And so we want to understand that healing begins as each member focuses on fulfilling their individual roles, seeking God's help in doing so. That we just see, what does God want me to do? How can I can either be part of the problem or part of the solution. And so if I'm doing what God wants me to do, that's going to be part of the solution. And so, but it's the thing is that each of us realize I need to do what I need to do better. I can't do the other person's role for them. I can't make them do their role. But I need to look, what is my responsibility? What do I need to do to fulfill my role better? And as we, each of us seeks the Lord's help in doing that, as we all draw close to the Lord, seeking His help to be better family members, then naturally we're going to draw closer to each other, and that's what we want to do. All right, so let's pray and we'll be dismissed. Heavenly Father, we just thank You for this time, and we just pray You would help us just understand these principles, help us to put them into practice, and just pray that You'd strengthen our families, and help us to be a help to others that are struggling with things as well. We ask this all in Jesus' name. Amen.